Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Let me introduce Steph. It is my privilege to introduce her today. And Steph is our worship pastor and works a couple of days here at the church. And it is our blessing to have her on team. And you'll find out why as she ministers God's word this morning. Steph actually preached this message a few weeks ago at one of our Sunday night services. And it was so good and it was so spot on with where we're at in our theme right now. I felt that it was a message that everybody needed to hear this morning in church. So get your Bibles out, get your notebooks out, get ready, and let's welcome Steph up to the stage to share God's word this morning.
Good morning, church. How are we doing? That's good. It is such a privilege for me to be able to share the word with you this morning. So whether you are in the room or if you are joining us online, it is an absolute honour for me to be able to share this word that God has popped on my heart. And it's just really special to be able to preach it a second time as well, to be able to share it with more people. So let's pray to begin, yeah? Dear Lord Jesus, we just thank you for the privilege that it is for us to be able to come into your presence, for us to be able to come into your house and to hear from you, to receive from you. And so this morning, we just open our hearts up to you and we invite you to have your way in our lives as we dive deeper into this topic of what it is for us to choose life in you. So we give you all the glory. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, if you've been around church for the past couple of weeks, you'll know that we have been doing our Choose Life series. And so this week we're entering into week number 4. And in this series, we've been looking at how choosing life leads to us being able to walk in the freedom that we're talking about, the freedom that Christ has won for us on the cross. And so a few weeks ago, Pastor Andy kicked it off and we talked about money, and then we talked about rest and what it is to have true rest. And last week we had the privilege of having our guest speaker, Phil Brake, and he spoke about sharing your faith and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through us as we share our Christian faith with other people. And in this, we've had our key passage that we've been coming back to, so Deuteronomy chapter 30. Starting at verse 19, today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. So we have a choice. Life or death? Blessings or curses? And it sounds pretty simple. It sounds kind of like a no-brainer of, well, why would I choose death when I could choose life instead? Or why would I choose a curse when I could have a blessing instead? But the thing is, sometimes, and especially in the world that we're living in today, those options, life or death, blessings or curses, they can actually look pretty similar. And it can be hard for us to tell them apart. Because we see there is so much death that is disguised as life. And so many curses that are disguised as blessing. So much evil that is masquerading as good. And so one of the things that can help us to make this choice to actually choose life and to help us discern what that actually looks like and help us figure out how we can outwork that in our lives is to have an understanding of the why. The why of life. What is the point of life? What is the meaning of life? And if you're new at our church this morning, welcome. We're thrilled to have you with us, but you're probably like, wow, they go deep at this church. That's a big question. We're going to talk about the meaning of life. We are. And today we're looking at purpose. What is the purpose of life? And it is a big question. And not only what is the purpose of life, but for us as human beings, we seem to have this innate need to discover, what is my purpose in life? Why am I here? What have I been put on this earth for? And the thing is that we have this need in us, and so what has happened is that some places, particularly universities, have taken advantage of this and they have marketed purpose. And so purpose is now associated with your occupation and your career and what you do in life. And the thing is, I was like, I'm just going to talk to young people generally sit over here. Your occupation is not your purpose. And I just want to, especially if you're in high school, once you start getting to year 10, 11, 12, and there's that relentless question that you get of, you know, well, do you know what you're going to do at university? What are you going to do? Let me just tell you, your occupation is not your purpose in life. Because that concept of purpose, that worldly idea of purpose, is driven by feelings. But you see, true purpose, God-given purpose, is eternal. It doesn't change, and it's not dependent on your circumstances. So from your first to your last breath, your God-given purpose remains unchanged. And it's that purpose, it's that God-given purpose that we're going to look at this morning. So if you've got your Bibles, why don't you open to Mark chapter 11, and we'll have it up on the screens for you as well. So starting at verse 15, it says, "When they arrived back in Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out the people buying and selling animals for sacrifices. He knocked over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves, and he stopped everyone from using the temple as a marketplace. He said to them, 'The scriptures declare, my temple will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have turned it into a den of thieves.' When the leading priests and teachers of religious law heard what Jesus had done, they began planning how to kill him. But they were afraid of him because the people were so amazed at his teaching. That evening, Jesus and the disciples left the city." Now, you're probably like, "Steph, what on earth does that passage have to do with purpose?" Well, the title of my message this morning is Temples and Tables. And like Andy mentioned, I did preach this message at an evening service a few weeks ago, and I actually had a few alternative titles up my sleeve. So an alternative title for this message, if you would like, is The Purpose and the Problem. So Temples and Tables, The Purpose and the Problem. Pick whichever one you like. Obviously, everything in life has a purpose. Everything has an intended use. But that doesn't mean that we always use things the way that they were designed to be used, which on one hand can lead to some really cool, creative, innovative ideas. Think like MacGyver style, just putting random objects together and you've got weapons. I don't know, I haven't seen MacGyver. I just know that's what they do. But the thing is, using things in ways they weren't designed to be used for, yeah, it can be really cool and creative, but it could also be really stupid. And so my sister, she's a grade 4 teacher. And I asked her, I was like, "Do you ever have kids in your classroom using things not for their proper purpose?" It took her all of about half a second to say, "Well, just the other day, I had to remind a child that their Bible was in fact not to be worn as a hat." She also said she frequently has to remind the kids that rulers aren't meant to be used as swords, that face masks aren't meant to be used as blindfolds, that the inside of locker cubbies aren't meant to be used as places when playing hide and seek. But my favourite example that she had for me, she said that one day she walked past an empty classroom and she found that some kids had gotten into this classroom and they had rearranged the furniture and turned it into a makeshift seesaw that they were then trying to ride. Which, you know what, hats off to them. That's incredibly imaginative to look at some tables and chairs and think, seesaw. But that's not what a classroom is for. That's not what the classroom furniture is for. So I can imagine she put on her best teacher voice. She put on her best teacher voice and she went into the classroom because I was like, "What did you do?" So she's like, "I went in, I made them disassemble the seesaw, put everything back where it belonged, and then I kicked them out of the classroom." Because that's not what the classroom is for. That's not what the furniture is for. And so let's come back to this passage that we have in Mark. So here we have Jesus. He walks into the temple. He's walking into God's house. And he sees priests selling animals for people to use as a sacrifice. And they're ripping people off with these crazy exchange rates. And what they're doing is they're using the temple to profit themselves. And so Jesus isn't too happy about this. So he's flipping over tables and he's knocking over dove displays. And I just imagine money and coins flying everywhere. And so what he did was he completely destroyed their setup. And he stopped everyone from using the temple as a marketplace, it says. Because a marketplace was not the intended purpose. It was not the intended use of the temple. The purpose of the temple, the way that it was designed, the way that it was built, was to reflect the glory of God and for people to be drawn closer to Him. And did you know this morning, church, that you are a temple? And you might be like, yeah, I know, like, my body is a temple. My body is a temple. But not in that wellness industry sense that we're talking about, but you are a temple of the Holy Spirit, the word says. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 16, don't you yourselves know that you are God's temple and that the Spirit of God lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and that is what you are. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, and you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. You are a temple. And the word of God says that you, both as an individual and as part of the wider body of Christ, are a temple. So God's temple, his dwelling place, the place where his presence comes down and resides, is no longer a physical building, but it is you. It is inside of you, which means that you, in your physical body, in your behavior, in your life, are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so my question, my challenge for you this morning, if Jesus were to come and he were to walk into the temple of your life and he were to look around, what tables would he flip over? What tables would he flip? What have you got set up in the temple of your life that needs to go? What in your life doesn't match the intended purposes of God for you as his temple? But in order for us to be able to answer that question, we first need to know, well, what actually is the purpose of a temple? What was the intended purpose? So we're going to go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and we're going to actually look at what the purpose of the temple was when it was built. So the temple was built by King Solomon, and once he'd finished building the temple, it was quite a process, and once he'd finished it, he prays this really beautiful prayer of dedication, and he dedicates the temple back to the Lord. And so here in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, what we're seeing is the Lord's response to that prayer. So starting in verse 12, then one night the Lord appeared to Solomon and said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this temple as the place for making sacrifices. At times I might shut up the heavens so that no rain falls, or command grasshoppers to devour your crops, or send plagues among you. Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer made in this place, for I have chosen this temple and set it apart to be holy, a place where my name will be honored forever. I will always watch over it, for it is dear to my heart. So then the temple in Israel had many purposes, like lots of things happened. There was a lot of symbolism in the temple, a lot of typology, a lot that points back to Jesus, a lot of rituals that happened in the temple, and we're not going to unpack any of that this morning. But we do, in this passage, get a glimpse of a few things that went on there. So we see that it was a place for making sacrifices. And it says that it was a place for prayer. So it was a place where people came to communicate with God. It's a place where God came down to meet with his people. But the one that I want to focus on this morning is in verse 16, which says that, for I have chosen this temple and set it apart to be holy, a place where my name will be honored forever. You know, King Solomon, as he's getting ready to build the temple, he's got all the plans and he's ready to go. And he says, if we go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 2, he says, I'm about to build a temple to honor the name of the Lord. And then he builds a temple. It's a many-year process. And then once it's done, he looks around and he says, I have built this temple to honor the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. So from the very start to the very finish of this process, the intended purpose of the temple was that it might honor the name of the Lord. That's why it was built. That's its purpose, to reflect and to honor, to glorify and to carry the presence of the living God. And so for you, as a temple, that's your purpose. That is your purpose, to reflect, to honor, to glorify, and carry the name of Jesus. It's literally why you were created. Back in the beginning, God said, let us create man in our own image, in our own likeness. The functionality that God had in mind when you were created was that you would be like him. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, and I love the way the Message puts this. It says, God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He knows what he is doing. And he decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. The son stands first in the line of humanity he restored. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him. After God made that decision of what his children should be like, he followed it up by calling people by name. After he called them by name, he set them on a solid basis with himself. And then after getting them established, he stayed with them to the end, gloriously completing what he had begun. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in Jesus. And that's the point. From the very beginning, the purpose was that we would reflect him. That is us. That is our purpose in life, to reflect God. And you see, we didn't stumble into that. We didn't accidentally fall into God's purpose. It says here that God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. And it's the same thing with the temple. It wasn't a coincidence that the temple was a place for God's name. God didn't just fall out of heaven and land in the temple and was like, okay, well, I guess this is as good as any place. But it says instead that God says, I have chosen this temple. He chose the temple to be a place for his name. And you see, when you put your name on something, what are you doing? You're claiming ownership of it. You're saying, this is mine. And so when God put his name on the temple, he was claiming ownership of it. But the thing is, now you are his temple, which means that his name is now on you. You are his. And when we have his name on us, man, that carries with it such an incredible sense of identity because of who we are in Christ. But not only does it bring with it identity, but it also brings with it a sense of responsibility because of who you now represent. And if any of you, if you're a school student, you have to wear a school uniform, you'd know that when you have your uniform on, you are a representative of your school. Or if you have a uniform that you have to wear for work, same thing goes. If you are in your uniform, you are a representative of your workplace. So for me, I have the privilege of working here at church. And so this is my super cool church staff lanyard. It's a nice shade of what I like to call LMC green. Or LMC blue, depending. I reckon it's more green than blue, but anyway. But this, it has a picture of me on it. It has my name on it. It says Steph Berry. It identifies me, just in case people in the office get a little bit confused one day and forget who I am. It identifies me. But what it also says is LMC. So it's like LMC stuff, LMC stuff, LMC stuff, LMC stuff. It's very obvious that I work here. And the thing is, if I have this on, and for whatever reason I forget that I'm wearing it, and I go down to the shops to get some lunch or something one day, as I'm walking around the shops, as long as I've got this on, whether I like it or not, I am a representative of Life Ministry Church. I'm a representative of this place. Because it's not just my name on display, but I'm wearing the name of the church as well. And so if I've got this on, and as I'm walking around, I'm rude, and I'm impatient, and I'm disrespectful towards other people, it doesn't just reflect poorly on me, but it also is going to come back and reflect poorly on LMC. Because I'm wearing their name. And so if you are a Christian, you, by the way that you behave, the way that you interact with others in your relationships, in your attitudes, in certain situations, the way that you respond, you are representing Christ to others. Because as his temple, you're wearing his name. Yeah? And so if we go back to Jesus in the temple, this event took place in a part of the temple called the Court of Gentiles. And this section of the temple was so that those who were from other nations, people who weren't Jewish, were able to come into the temple and they were able to worship and they were able to bring a sacrifice. So what the leaders did, they had set up stalls inside the temple for people to purchase these sacrifices if they needed to. And the thing is, they were charging all sorts of crazy exchange rates and extravagant fees in the process that they weren't needing to do. So we come back. Jesus, he's entered into the court of Gentiles where people who weren't Jewish were supposed to be able to come and have access to God. They were supposed to be able to come and bring that unblemished sacrifice. And the way that the religious leaders treated these people was they really took advantage of them and they set up these convenient little stalls of, oh, if you would like to, you know, buy a sacrifice, then you can and we're going to really rip you off in the process. And what they were doing was they were profiting themselves. And one commentary I read in the process said that if a Gentile visited the temple and they saw what the Jews were doing in the name of the true God, he would never want to believe what they taught. And so what happens, Jesus, he comes into the temple and he looks around where he sees what's going on and he's like, hold on, my house is supposed to be a house of prayer. It is supposed to be a place where people come to call upon the name of God, not to be taken advantage of by it. And what you're doing here, the way that you're treating these people, this isn't bringing honor to my name. This isn't representing me very well. This isn't the purpose of the temple that I have put my name on. And so what he does is he comes and he knocks over the tables and he destroys their setup that they've got going on. You see, it was a problem because it was a contradiction to the purpose of the temple. And once you know the purpose of a temple, it better positions you to be able to find the problems that you've got in your temple. And that brings us to number 2, the problem. A few weeks ago, we had 3 O's. This week, we're going to have 3 P's. We've had the purpose and the problem. If the purpose of the temple is to carry, to honor, and to glorify the name of God, then anything you have in your life that doesn't serve that purpose is a problem. And it is a table that needs to be flipped. Has anybody heard of a lady called Marie Kondo? Yep. So Marie Kondo, she is apparently like an organizer for a living, or I don't know how you make that into a living, but somehow she's done this. And she has a Netflix series called Tidying Up with Marie Kondo. And she goes around and people tidy up with Marie Kondo. It's the whole premise of the show. So what she does is she goes around to people's houses and she helps them sort through all their junk. And what she does, if you've seen this show, you'll know she gets them to get everything that they have in a room and they put it all in a pile in the middle. So like all their clothes, all their books, all their, I don't know, whatever else they've got, literally everything, just put it all in a pile. And then she makes them go up to this pile and pick up each item one by one and they're supposed to hold it. It's real weird. You're supposed to hold it and then say, does this spark joy? And if the thing that you're holding sparks joy, then you get to keep it. And if it doesn't spark joy, you have to throw it out. And so I was watching this show one day and I was like, all right, it's worth a shot, I suppose. So I did it. I grabbed all my stuff and I put it all in a really big pile. And I have a lot of stuff, I learned. And so I put it all in a really big pile. And as you started going through it, I'd pick it up, but I felt weird being like, does this spark joy? That was just a weird question. So instead, I would ask myself, do I like this? Do I need this? Have I used this recently? Am I likely to use this again in the future? But you see, it wasn't an overly successful exercise for me because pretty much everything just ended up back exactly where it had been in the first place. And I'd pick up an item of clothing and be like, look, I know I haven't worn this in like 5 years, but in another 5 years' time, this might be cool again. So like, I need to keep it just in case. Because I was looking at all this stuff and I was like, why would I want to get rid of all of these clothes that I have that I like? Like, I wouldn't have bought them in the first place if I didn't like them. Why would I want to get rid of these perfectly good clothes? What's the point of that? And this passage that we have in Mark chapter 11, it's often referred to as the cleansing of the temple. And when you cleanse something, what are you doing? You're cleaning it out. You're removing all of the dirt and the harmful substances. It's getting rid of the junk. And that's what Jesus was doing. Jesus was cleansing the temple. He was getting rid of all of the junk that had accumulated. And when it comes to the temple of our lives, we can look around and we can survey all of our stuff, all of our relationships, all of our habits, and say, you know what? I'm pretty happy with my setup. I like my life. I'm keeping it. And so what we do is we get defensive and instead we bolt the tables that we have in our temples down to the floor. And we say, God, don't touch anything. Just put it down. Just leave it where you found it, okay? Because you look around and you're like, I like my life. Why would I want God to start flipping tables? Why would I want to get rid of my stuff? And that's the reaction that we see in the priests and the religious leaders. Because when Jesus knocked over their stuff, they were so mad that they began planning to kill him as a response. Colossians 3, verse 8 to 10. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. When we get rid of the junk that we've accumulated in our lives, we are renewed in the image of our Creator. We become like Him. We become a better image, a better representation of Him. And so if we want to be like Jesus, then we need to allow Him to knock over the tables that we have in our lives that are contrary to that purpose. And you're like, Steph, you keep talking about all of these tables. Like, what do you mean? Like, do I have to get rid of my coffee table or my dining table? What are you talking about? Well, tables are anything, and I mean anything in your life that doesn't serve the purpose of a temple. So if you were to do stock take and you were to get all of your things and put everything in your life in a pile in the middle of your temple, as you go through things, instead of asking yourself the question, does this spark joy? Because that's not the right question to ask. Ask yourself, does this bring honor to the name? And if the answer is no, then it's got to go. And so if we bring this back to our series, if we bring this back to Choose Life, does this bring, like, pick things up and ask, does this bring life or does this bring death? Does this bring blessing or does this bring curses? Does this help me walk in freedom or is this keeping me bound? Does this help me to choose life? And again, if the answer is no, then it's got to go. We've got to get rid of it. So if my attitude and the words that I am saying are not bringing honor to the name of Jesus, then it is a table that needs to be flipped. And if we're finding our identity in our relationships or in our job or in our financial status, our identity is in our things, then it is a table that needs to be flipped. If we're harboring unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment towards other people and we're allowing that to dictate our actions, the way that we are thinking, the way that we treat others, then that is a table in our lives that needs to be flipped. Even material things, the things that you're purchasing, the music you're listening to, the content that you're consuming, the shows that you're watching, the social events that you're going to, if those things aren't bringing honor to the name of Jesus, if they are not God honoring, then that is a table in your life that needs to be flipped. And the thing is, these things that I'm listing, not all of them are inherently bad things. There's nothing wrong with having a job and being in relationship with others and going to a party and watching Netflix. There's nothing wrong with any of these things. But the thing is, when we honor them above the name that is above all names and when we allow them to hold a greater influence in our lives, then they become a problem. And when that happens, slowly but surely, these tables get set up in the temples of our lives, and so often we don't even realize it. We can't see the problem. We can't actually find the tables that we've got, which is why we need to ask God to show us where they are and then let Him knock them down. Psalm 139, verse 23 to 24 is, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life." That's a bold prayer. Because what you're saying in this prayer is, come into the temple of my life and of my heart and of my mind. Point out the tables I've set up and knock them over so that my life might bring honor to your name. That's a gutsy prayer. Because you're inviting God to literally point out the things in your life that He doesn't like. It doesn't sound like fun. It doesn't sound like fun having your flaws and your faults pointed out to you. But the thing is, we can pray that prayer And we can pray that prayer with confidence, knowing that our God is for us. And here's why. So I said we're going to have three P's. So we've done the purpose and the problem, and we've got the last one, and that's the promise. If we go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 in verse 15, I want to have a look at the way that God talks about the temple. Starting at verse 15, he says, "My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer made in this place. For I have chosen this temple and set it apart to be holy, a place where my name will be honored forever. I will always watch over it, for it is dear to my heart." He promises to watch over the temple. And he says that my eyes will be open and my ears will be attentive. I will always watch over it, for it is dear to my heart. And you might be like, yeah, Steph, that's the literal Old Testament temple. God is talking about a building in that moment. But I want to show you something. In the word, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light." Chosen, holy, special possession. The way that God spoke about his temple is the way that he now speaks about you. And the promises that he made to the temple, he now makes to you. His eyes and ears are towards you. He will always watch over you. And did you know that there is nowhere you can go that you are out of sight of God? Nowhere. We have a God who is for us, who is on our side, who is with us, who is watching us, and not in a creepy, like, "I'm watching you" kind of way, and not in a controlling, "I'm watching you so you better not mess up" kind of way. But he is watching us in a, "Hey, it's okay, I'm here, and I'm watching out for you" kind of way. Because you, his temple, you are dear to his heart. And when we understand that, when we have a revelation of that, it changes everything. It changes the way we look at things. It changes the way that we look at ourselves. Because when Jesus flipped over the tables in the temple, it wasn't just an act of what we dub as righteous anger, which is a phrase that's often associated with this story. But it was also an act of care. He was watching over the temple. He kept his promise. He walks into the temple that is dear to his heart, and he sees that it has wandered from its original purpose. And so he brings it back. He knocks over the tables and he realigns the temple with his purposes. And so when Jesus comes into the temple of your life and he points at something and he says, "Hey, this has got to go," it's not because he's controlling your life. It's not because he wants to kill your fun. It's because he wants you to choose life. It's because his ways are better. It's because his ways are higher. And it's because his purposes for you are so much better than any purposes that you could imagine for yourself. His purpose, it doesn't change with situations or with feelings or with age. His purpose for you is eternal. His purpose for you as his temple in anything is that in anything and everything you would lead a life that brings honor to his name. And in the same way he chose the temple, he now chooses you to bear his image, and he chose to put his name on you. And the thing is, our God, he's a good God. He knows what he's doing. He's not going to put his name on just anything. He's not going to put his name on junk. His name is on you. But the thing is, it's now up to you to carry it well. And it's now up to you to choose life. And so if we could just have every head bowed and every eye closed. And I want to ask you the same question that I asked right back at the very start. If Jesus were to walk into the temple of your life, what tables would he flip? What in your life is contrary to the purpose of bringing honour to the name? And you know, the question is, what are the tables you've got set up in your life? I'm not asking you what tables you think the person next to you has set up in theirs. I'm asking you to have a look around and see what tables do you have set up in the temple of your life. And if when you ask yourself that question, something immediately springs into mind, it's probably the Holy Spirit bringing something to your attention. It's probably the Holy Spirit saying, this right here, this is a table, this is a problem, and it needs to go. And my encouragement to you this morning, church, don't bolt the tables down to the floor, but allow him, let him flip them over. Because as we allow Jesus to flip them over, as we allow him to get rid of the muck, and as we allow him to cleanse us, we are being transformed into his image. We are coming back to our very purpose. We are becoming more like him. And I want to be like Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want to be more and more like Jesus. And so we need to let him lock over all of the stuff that we've got in our lives that gets in the way of that. You are dear to his heart. And I want to pray for some people this morning. All right, so you might be sitting here, and as you reflect on the temple of your life, you can recognize some tables that you've got set up. And you can say, you know what? I've got some things, some areas in my life that don't bring honor to the name of Jesus. You're like, yeah, that's me. I've got some tables that need to be turned. I've drifted from my purpose, and I need Jesus to turn some tables and bring me back. If that's you this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to just pop your hand up real quickly. Just pop it up and put it down. That's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you, Lord God. And you know, some of you might be sitting here and you might be thinking, you know what? I've got too much stuff. I've got too many tables. I don't know that I could ever live up to that purpose of bringing honor to the name of Jesus. My life is just too messy. If that's what's going on in your head right now, that is a lie from the enemy, and I want to break that in the name of Jesus. You are never too far gone. Now is the time. Now is the time to be renewed in the image of your Creator. So if there's anyone else this morning and you're like, yeah, I've got some stuff, or just pop your hand up real quickly. See that? That's awesome. All right, so we're going to pray. And as we do, I just encourage you, just continue to reflect on what you've got in your life. Ask God, invite God to actually search you. Allow him to actually look into the temple of your life. Father God, we just thank you. Thank you that you have chosen us to bear your name. Thank you that you have chosen us to wear your name, that you have chosen us to be your temple, for the goodness that you have in coming that close to us, Lord God. And this morning, we come before you and we invite you to enter into the temples of our lives. And we invite you to look around and knock over anything that you want. Knock over anything that we've got in our lives that is contrary to the purpose of us as a temple. I thank you for those people who had the boldness to be able to say, yeah, you know what? I've got some stuff in my life. And I pray that moving forward, that this moment of allowing you to knock things over in our lives, that this would be a real turning point for people, of being able to step into the purpose that you have for them, your God-given purpose for us to be able to bear your image. And I pray that we would continue to go out of here with boldness to be able to carry the name of Jesus, to be able to carry it well. We thank you, Lord God, that you are always watching over us. We thank you that we are close to your heart. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And you know, church, this idea of asking God to look into the temples of our lives, inviting him to knock stuff over, it's not just a one-time thing, yeah? It's something that we need to be doing every day. Whenever we get up, whenever we're spending time with the Lord, saying, God, I want to be able to reflect your image today. what needs to go. It's not a one-time thing. So let's not leave it here this morning, yeah? Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much, Steph. And can we just give a shout of praise to God for his love for us as revealed through his word? Can we thank God? We praise your name, Heavenly Father. You are so worthy. You're so worthy. You know, I love that picture, don't you? Steph and I talked about having a table up here and actually flipping the table. You know, there's a difference between Jesus saying, hey, clear all that stuff and put it away, and him going, bam, you know, stuff breaking across the floor. And it's the violent nature of that flipping, that's the passion of Jesus and him wanting us to choose life in our lives. And so I'd encourage you, if you were challenged today and there are things that need to be flipped in your own life, come and see one of the pastoral team today. Come up the front today and let us pray with you, agree with you, and empower the Holy Spirit to work through you in that area of your life. So thank you so much, Steph. We appreciate that word and your effort in that. Can we thank Steph again, church? That was great. Really good stuff.